Morning, everyone. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at a passage of Scripture, John chapter 15. And at the start of that message, I asked you if you wanted a fulfilling and a fruitful life. The question then was, well, where do we find those things? How do we find fulfillment and how do we ensure our lives are fruitful? And as we sat under God's word together, I believe that the Lord gave us the secret to finding these two things. The secret, as revealed in God's word, was found in, number one, remaining in him, remaining in Jesus, and number two, pursuing friendship with him above all else, making that relationship the central priority of your life, remaining in the true vine, where his life is able to course through your life, producing fruit that will last for eternity. We spent a couple of weeks looking at Jesus' words in John 15. There really is so much in here that I want to spend some time, just one more week in this passage, in a sense, mining for gems, kingdom of heaven gems. So let's once again sit together under this very important passage. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. On a grapevine, the only difference between a cane and a branch is longevity. A cane is a new shoot, the product of just one season. A branch is a part of the vine that's been there for much, much longer. The fruitfulness of the vine comes from the branches, not from the canes. Today I want to talk with you about fruitfulness and the fact that being really fruitful, more often than not, takes years of being grafted into the vine. As you drive around the Hunter Valley up in the wine country, you'll notice some of the vines are old. I mean, they're really quite old. There are some branches up there that are more than 40 years old. And yet, year after year, they yield one bountiful harvest after another. Some crops are short-term. The plant produces, you know, whatever it produces in a year. Not so with grapes. Vineyards are long-term crops. The mature vines produce far more than the younger ones. God wants us to be long-term residents in his vineyard. In fact, God wants you grafted into the true vine for eternity. That's a long-term goal, isn't it? His goal for us is fruitful maturity. He knows it's going to take time, and he's willing to wait. The Lord gave his all for you. He loves you more than you know. He's done everything required to make it possible for you to be grafted into him. He chose you, and now he's going to ensure that you're fruitful. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Throughout this parable, Jesus uses that word remain 10 times. Remain in me. It's that simple. Remain in me is all that Jesus asks of the branches in God's vineyard. In God's vineyard, there has to be total interdependence between the branches and the vine. You are not called to simply stand near him, watching what's going on in the lives of others. And yet that is exactly what many Christians do. I'm amazed at how many Christians love to hear about what God is doing in the world, to celebrate when others come to faith, to rejoice when the church grows and great things are happening. They love it when there appears to be much fruit being produced, and yet they themselves don't want to be part of actually producing that fruit. They simply want to be spectators. Jesus doesn't call you to be a spectator. He calls you to be grafted into him. That means that your identity, your very existence, becomes bound up in him. Let me give you an example. Maybe you work as an accountant. You really enjoy your job, and you're clearly very good at it. You're also a Christian who goes to church on Sundays. Now, there's a big difference between being a successful accountant who goes to church on Sundays and a full-on, fruitful, life-giving follower of Jesus Christ who works as an accountant for a living. Jesus doesn't call you to be a spectator. He wants your very identity to be bound up in him. Remember a couple of weeks ago when I mentioned about how difficult it is to distinguish between where the vine ends and the branch begins? Well, that's what I'm talking about. What an awesome promise. What a relationship to be invited into. Growing in Christ will be a lifetime adventure where all we need to worry about is staying in the true vine, right where the Father has already grafted us. Can you see how this is completely at odds with the wisdom of the world? The world says that if you want anything, you have to achieve it. That's the lie that the world will tell you, that you have to invest all of your energies to somehow obtain fulfillment. In God's kingdom, we don't have to achieve fulfillment. Don't get me wrong, there are lots of things that are proper and good for us to work hard at and achieve. Here I'm speaking about fulfillment and the sense of achieving one's full potential in life and living in the fullness of joy of which Jesus speaks. When we are grafted into the true vine, he's given us three things which actually negate this apparent need to achieve fulfillment. The first is this. Jesus says, I have called you friends, the gift of friendship. See, really, I mean, think about it. What more do we need when the living God calls you his friend? Sometime when anxiety starts to wash over you like the tide, when you start to worry about your life, spend some time meditating, that is thinking deeply, thinking carefully about this truth. The Son of God, the Creator of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, calls you friend. The gift of his friendship is nothing more or less than pure grace. You can't work to earn or achieve it. He offers it to you free of charge. It comes when you're part of the vine. It comes when your identity is bound up in his. So that's the first thing which negates the need to achieve. The living God chooses to call you his friend. Secondly, he gives you a regenerate heart and mind. He doesn't suggest that we somehow develop a new heart and mind and then suggest some pointers about how to do that. No, he simply gives it to us. Have a look at these important words of God, looking forward to the day of Pentecost and given through the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 11, verse 19, he says, I will give them a new heart and a new mind. I will take away their stubborn heart of stone, and I will give them an obedient heart. Then they will keep my laws and faithfully obey all my commands. They will be my people, and I will be their God. When you are grafted into the true vine, you are given a new heart, an obedient heart, which leads to faithful obedience. Then following the day of Pentecost, Paul wrote to the Romans, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When you're grafted into the true vine, the gardener begins to transform you from the inside out. What's the secret to behavioural change? A change of mind, right? If your behaviour is going to change, there has to be a change in the way that you think. And that's what God promises, a renewed mind. So we're given the gift of friendship, a new heart, and a new mind. And, well, this is really something. And the ability to sense his presence and to hear his voice. Have a careful look at what Jesus says here in John 10. In verse 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." When we are grafted into the true vine, we are given the ability to hear his voice and to sense his presence. Now, the big question is, how do I remain in him? How do I do that? You know, it's easy to think in kind of abstract terms, but what does that look like on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis? Remaining in him is as simple as regularly being where he is. Jesus doesn't hide from us. He never hides from his followers. He clearly tells us where to find him, in his word, in prayer, and in surrender. Let's have a look at these separately. This is really important. The first place where you will find Jesus is in his word. In fact, John writes that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is actually called the Word. The Word of God reveals who God is and what he's done. The Word of God is a report about a redemptive event, but it's also redemptive in and of itself. When God became one of us in Jesus, he revealed himself to us fully in the person and the work of Jesus. The first step towards remaining in the true vine, in Jesus, is to develop the habit of spending time in the Bible every single day. That's the first place where you'll find him. Jesus said in Mark 13, he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And then in Luke's gospel, we read, "I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. When you build your life on the Word of God, you build your life on the rock, an unshakable foundation. Jesus also said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned." He's crossed over from death to life. Do you see how important it is to know the Word of God? Do you see how life-changing the Word of God is? In John 14, he says, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." How can we ensure that we obey his teaching if we don't know what that teaching is? We can't. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God, to live with it daily, to literally feed on it. That's why it's so important to come to church, not just to worship and glorify God, not just to fellowship with other Christians, not just to serve others, but to come and sit under his word. It's so important that we all come with a sense of expectation that God has something to say to us through the preaching of his word. And we then need to be willing to be changed by that word. Jesus said in verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." If you continually find Jesus in his word and you allow these words to permeate your life, to change your heart and mind, do you know what happens? Your will, your desires eventually line up so exactly with God's will and God's desires that Jesus can say, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. So the first place we find Jesus is in his word. The second place is in prayer. I've said this to you numerous times before. We are most human when we pray. You were created to pray, to commune with God, to bring him all of your concerns, all your joys and sorrows, to walk daily in fellowship with the Lord. As I said earlier, one of the unique gifts the Father gives to those who are grafted into the vine is the ability to hear his voice. When we read his word, we learn to recognize his voice. When we pray, and specifically when we listen in prayer, we learn to hear his voice, and God then speaks directly into our lives. It says in Luke chapter 5 that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In the gospel accounts, we find Jesus doing this over and over again, withdrawing to lonely places and praying. If the Son of God needed to spend much time in prayer, how much more so us? If we are the branches, our fruitfulness is directly linked to remaining in him. Prayer, then, is a vital aspect of our life in him. Do you agree? When we pray, his life is allowed to flow through us. And when we don't pray, we start to wither spiritually. Jesus said, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." Jesus promises to be with us when we come together in his name. That's why it's so important for us to do whatever we can, even in the midst of a global pandemic, to gather with other believers, to encourage and strengthen others, and to be encouraged and strengthened as we pray and sit together under his word. This is why it's so important to continue to do what we do each week on Zoom. Jesus says that there is only one thing that is really important, one thing that is more important than anything and everything else, your relationship with him. We remain in the vine, number one, by finding Christ in his word, number two, by spending time in prayer, and number three, by surrendering our lives to him. Jesus says in verse 12 of our passage today, in John 15, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay his life down for his friends." Jesus modeled absolute surrender to the will of the Father, and he calls us to do exactly the same thing. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night before his crucifixion, as he pleaded with the Father to find another way, an alternative to the way of the cross, we find Jesus eventually praying, "But not my will, but yours be done." When we choose to remain in him, remember all of those if statements from last week. Remember that you are chosen to be grafted in, but you must choose to stay there. If you choose to remain in him, there's only one attitude that is acceptable, an attitude of total surrender to his will. From my personal experience, this has to be the most difficult aspect of remaining in him. Finding the Lord in prayer and his word has come somewhat easier for me than in surrender to his will. When we won't surrender, what we're really saying is, "I'm still the boss." There's only one boss, only one gardener, only one heavenly Father, only one Lord and Master. He's passionate about fruitfulness, and he knows that there's no fruitfulness where there is rebellion. If you refuse to surrender to his will, you'll just mark time spiritually. You'll go around and around and around. There'll be no fruit, there'll be no fullness, and there'll be no growth. The Father knows that without submission to his will, there's only barrenness. The main reason that young shoots, young believers, don't bear much fruit is because they haven't learnt to submit to his will. They haven't learnt to surrender. That said, I have seen young believers bearing amazing kingdom fruit, but only because they've been willing to surrender fully to his will. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, "Well, I'm not a young believer. I've been a Christian for many years." Well, that doesn't matter. The question is, how willing have you been to submit to his will? How willing have you been to surrender every area of your life to him? Maybe you've spent a lifetime looking for Jesus in his word and in prayer, yet you're still unwilling to surrender all. If that's you, there's an area of your life coming to mind right now, isn't there? And if you're honest, maybe your life hasn't been as fruitful as you know it should have been. You need to lay it down. You need to surrender that area of your life to him. Maybe you're not willing to trust God with your finances. The idea of giving sacrificially to the Lord seems ridiculous, impossible, and you refuse to do it. That's rebellion. Maybe God's been calling you to serve him in a particular area of ministry. For years, you've ignored his call. You've been unwilling to risk looking a fool, so you've simply said, "No, Lord, I won't serve you in that way." That's rebellion. Maybe you've refused to submit his call to forgive someone who's wronged you. That's a refusal to surrender to his will. That is rebellion. Maybe you've simply refused to admit that you're suffering from an addiction of some type. You can't bring yourself to be honest about your situation, and therefore you refuse to give it to Jesus. That too is rebellion. Let me ask you this. What part of lay your life down as a living sacrifice don't you understand? Think about it. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is a gift from the worshipper to the one worshipped. A sacrifice is a gift. The scriptures call us to lay our lives down as a living sacrifice. Your life is not for you. If your life is to be pleasing to God, your life is to be a gift to God and to others. The call to remain in him isn't easy. It's a call to the daily discipline of seeking God, but it's also a call to submission and surrender. I know God wants to use you to bless others. I know that he wants you to live a fruitful and fulfilling life. The question is, will you surrender all to him? It's the only way to remain in him. It's the only path to fullness and fruitfulness. Will you surrender all to him? Amen. May the Lord bless you today.